here we go this morning. There's something that this thing we're going to talk about here this morning is quite a big deal, actually. And it's based on the fact I'm still taking this online course about learning disabilities and this kind of stuff that's going on in the schools, the way schools mentality. I'm seeing how they're thinking, the way they think, you know, learning a lot of their stuff, and it's amazing me what they're doing compared to what we used to do when we were all younger and that kind of a thing. So, but I'm going to show you that this is really a big deal in so many ways. And I don't know if we're all willing to consider this thing, but we know we have our flesh we deal with. We know all that kind of stuff. So let's get started here this morning. And let's make this kind of a statement here, get my mind set into this thing. Sound still okay once in a while? I'm going to ask for one more time. Sound okay? And then we'll go if we get started. If it is, good. Okay. Now, you're probably getting tired of this sort of thing, but I keep hearing things and seeing things. We see people that they're called Christians, and we see people and we hear from people who say they're King James people, and we see people and hear people that say that they're Paul-following Christians, that kind of a thing. And here's a statement. I'm going to work on this thing. I'm going to show you scripturally. I'll just show you some stuff. Here we go. Here's the statement. Being a Christian is about changing. It just is. And we know that the change is not to become a Christian. You know, it's not to be or not to be. That is a question kind of a thing. It's if we are a Christian, it's the whole thing is about changing. Period. It's just about changing. And 2 points to that thing. One is he changes us. He does. We know that he changes us. Then the second point is that we are to change our manner of life. That's what a Christian does. That's what Christians are to do. That's what Christianity is. We believe that Christ is the Savior. We put our trust and faith into him. And when that takes place, he changes us. Now, I'm not going to talk up this morning about the things in Romans or any of those kind of, you know, the spiritual circumcision and things like that. That's not the kind of changes we're going to talk about this morning. But we have a harder one to talk about. We understand now, as a Christian, as a sincere Christian, that we know how God talks to us through a King James Bible. Okay? That's a statement. And we also learn who the enemy is. We know that from Ephesians chapter 6. We know that it's the devil. We know that the devil deals with us, he attacks us, he challenges us through our flesh. Because there's that sin that is still in us. Romans chapter 7, verse 20. So with that sin still in us, we are still possessed of the devil. He's still there. Now, he said Christ has changed us. He's taken our soul away from the flesh. So that's separate. So now he can clean us up as he says he does. So there's the change. But that's not the change I want to talk about this morning. We know that the devil works our flesh. We know that his goal is to get us to worship him. He wants to be like the Most High, he says. So we just know that that's our enemy. The people that are out there, they're under the influence of the enemy, and our flesh is always devil-possessed, and he's still always trying to mess with us. And what does he want to do to us? I think the bottom line, what he wants to do to us, is to ruin our testimony. He can't take away God's praises, because even when we mess up, God gets the praise because he's taken care of it. He doesn't impute it, took it upon himself. He died for our sins and washes them away and doesn't impute them, all that kind of stuff. So God still gets his praises. So the devil can't deal with that other than, you know, some things through music. He can't take away our salvation. We're sealed. He can deceive us, but God has given us a way to not be deceived with the King James Bible. We know that it isn't just grace only. The devil will try to get us to think it's grace only. That's called compromise. If we have doctrine only, then that's contention, and that's argument, and that's bickering, and that's preaching the wrong message, and being aggressive and mouthy, and all that kind of stuff. So, and the devil tries to get us with good religion, but that good religion is a folly. So he really, and that folly leads people to hell. So What does the devil have that he can ruin? Well, the only thing he has that I'm thinking, as I thought of this last night, the only thing that he can destroy is our testimony to other people. Now, we know that he has destroyed men, because men are not the men we're supposed to be anymore. We've lost our role, and if we try to get it back, we just cause stress in the family, and we don't even know what to do with the manpower that we have, and we realize we're supposed to be the men. We know that he's destroyed the women. They're immodest. They're doing the man's job. They're aggressive. They're tough. They're muscular. They're unfeminine. They're unladylike. They're loud and aggressive. And I saw all this kind of stuff at our. We have a community gathering going around town here yesterday and today, or I guess, or 2 days ago, whatever. And it was kind of interesting because I saw the boys. All the boys were dressed in their jeans and their Western shirts and their cowboy boots and cowboy hats and the whole thing. And they weren't just playing the game. They're over there lassoing a motorized cow, trying to have a contest on how to lasso, the hind feet as they're going up and down. So these boys out here, a lot of them being taught to be the hard-working man on the ranch, and that's really fun to see, encouraging to see something like that, when really we know that what's going on to the kids in the schools is they're destroying the kids. And we know that that's already taken place. The public schools, the homeschool people are doing just as bad as the public school people anymore. And, the kid is doing a good job and doing good learning and loves his family, and the family loves him and wants him to be the Christian man or the Christian girl for the girls. Those are rare. Yeah, that's getting to be a rare thing. And so, really, all the devil has left is the sincere King James Bible following, Paul following, risen Savior learning from, following, you know, that kind of thing, that kind of a Christian. And even at that, he's wearing us out. More and more are shutting down. They're just quitting. He's trying to get us to deny Christ and deny Paul and deny the King James Bible as the Word of God, as truth. He's trying to get us to give up. And if that doesn't work, he's going to try to kill us and get us arrested as time gets closer to the tribulation. Or like you say, like we realize, lose our jobs, or things are happening. The devil is trying to destroy what he has left. And the only thing he has left is that rare, sincere, serious Christian. And this is all heading up to something, and I'll show you here in a minute. This kind of introduction of what I'm trying to show you here, that we are to make a change in our life. I see more and more Christians that just don't care, or maybe they haven't been taught this or preached to this, but we are supposed to change if we learn to trust Christ as our Savior. We're supposed to change. So, today's message or sermon or talk or teaching or whatever you want to call it is something he does when he changes us. Now, like I said, we're not going to go through the Roman stuff, the spiritual circumcision and the soul and salvation and that type of a thing. We're going to talk again about the changes we need to make. Now, again, I'm not going to go through the list of things. It's not one of those kind of messages or anything. It's not to get us to be perfect and sinless, do everything perfectly right and da-da-da-da. I'm not going to, we're not going to go through the gospel lessons and say, here's what we do, here's what Jesus did, here's what we should do, we should imitate Christ. I'm not talking about that. That's wrong anyway, that point right there. We need to make a particular change that will affect all the rest of our changes. We tend to fight. We tend to argue. I believe because we haven't made some of this effort to make this particular change that I'm going to talk about here. Now, look at Acts chapter 26. You know the verse. You hear it all the time when I talk. I think it's one of the most important verses for a Christian, sincere Christian, to get a hold of, because this is Paul's ministry. He says to open their eyes, verse 18, and turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. And I want to say it again, because I had to do a quick study last night. I read that. I wanted to make sure that it doesn't. God, he's not telling us that we are turning from the power of Satan unto the power of God. Okay, so that's something you've heard before. So we know that. So, but we have had our eyes opened, I think. Okay, that helps. We see the light that we're supposed to turn to. Amen. When we hear that, we have God. And we still have the power of Satan in us and the sin that's still in us. But Christ has separated those now. Okay? We see that. I think those that understand spiritual circumcision in Romans chapter 7, the battles that Paul had with his flesh and his mind, okay? Yeah, that's that. Remind ourselves that that flesh is not immune to the devil or his devils or whatever, to the doctrine of devils, to get in there and deal with our flesh to try to, like I said, destroy our testimony. That's what all he can do to us anymore is to wreck our testimony for other people. We know about the inheritance. We learned that from Paul. And else in that verse, it says here, an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now, our faith is not in Paul, and our faith is not in me. What we're talking about is the faith that we have in us, and that's his faith. So we know about the faith of Jesus Christ. But we look at verse 20, where it says, showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, okay, here we go, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. And this is what I want to talk about this morning. If we are the sincere Christian, and if we have turned to God, and the way we turn to God is to trust that King James Bible to be the Word of God, His Word, His truth, then we will do works, meet, which means suitable or fit, proper, because we have repented, which means we want to change. Now, he's changed us, we know that. But there's something else I want you to hear this morning. And let's go to Romans chapter 6. And I don't think this is talked about anymore. And it's hard for us to deal with. It's hard for me to deal with. Good morning, Floyd. It's good to have you there. What we're seeing here this morning, these changes, look at Romans chapter 6, verse 6. And what does this have to do with my school talk? I'll show you here in a couple of minutes. Romans chapter 6, verse 6 says this, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So now, we know he did that. He crucified the old man. He separated our soul from the flesh, and he had to crucify that old man that says they're in us, and that body of sin which is in us still is going to be destroyed someday. But see, it isn't destroyed yet. We're still here. We're still walking around in this demonic, demon-possessed flesh, wanting to do what we want to do, what the devil wants us to do. And again, I'll say it again, what he's trying to destroy in us is our testimony towards other people. For them to see that there's a change in this person, a difference. First Corinthians. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We know this verse 15. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, see what that tells me this morning, that we are to be different. We have changed. And we realize that Christ has taken our old stuff, the old man, the old things, it's all past. It's all been taken care of. It's all history. Even the good things that we say we've done, he had to get rid of those because without Christ, we couldn't please him. We couldn't please God. So see, even that good stuff had to be thrown away because it was still dirty. So he didn't keep track of all of our good things from the past and then just throw away the bad stuff. No, it says old things are passed away. Doesn't say old bad things are passed away. It just says old things are passed away. So, look at Ephesians chapter 4. I'll get to my point here in a minute. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. He says to us there that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. So what we have here is we have the command that as a Christian, we are to have our eyes opened. Christ opened our eyes. He's turned us from darkness to light. Well, we need to make that turn. And I got distracted for a second here. Need to make that turn. And the turning is from the power of Satan unto God, even though the devil is still in us in the flesh. He's got a power in us that he's trying to tweak us with for testimony, and we need to have God. Well, we have God. We have the risen Savior God. We have everything that we need to have. But he still tells us that we need to put off concerning the former conversation. We need to put off the stuff that we've always done in the past. And what I'm recognizing here in all of us, especially some folks that I know up close, they're not putting off the old conversation. They're actually going back to it. We have Christians today that are going back to the former conversation. And that former conversation, the old man, is corrupt. And they're going back, and we think that now that we have God's grace from Paul's writings of the risen Savior, that we can go back to this former conversation. Well, hang on a minute here. Colossians 3:9 says the same thing. Tells us that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. So lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Have we put off the old man? We realize that Christ has cut it off. We realize that he's not imputing any of that stuff. And we know that. But this is Paul telling us to make some changes in our lives. You know, somebody who becomes a Christian, maybe they were modest beforehand. Maybe they were quiet. Maybe they were good people. Maybe they were good men, solid men. Maybe they were, you know, good kids and all that kind of stuff. So now they get saved. So now what can they do? Can they become gooder? Yeah, sure they can become gooder. But the point is this. What are we putting off? What have we put off that we're going back to? And that phrase, the former conversation, is what people are heading back to. Now, that still isn't my point. This is just all leading up to something, and I'll show you here this morning if we can get into this thing here. And we'll keep going here. Now, let's go to the other side of this thing. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Yeah, we'll do more Corinthians tonight for you Corinthians lovers out there. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, verse 7, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. So see, we realize that Christ changed us, okay, and that's fine. And how many Christians don't even know that? But, you know, whatever. But we still find that he calls us, he tells us, he commands us through Paul to purge out, get rid of that old leaven. Like I say, Christians that are getting away from the preaching and the fellowship of the brethren and being encouraged to go forward, we're all headed back to the old leaven. We're all headed back to the former conversation. And he says, purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. He says here, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Now, that phrase, as ye are unleavened, you know, if we're unleavened, we're not going to grow. And that's an interesting point, that if we're going to put on the new man here, and we're going to be that new lump, we have to find something that will help us grow. Now, 1 Corinthians 5:8, I'll go back to that one here. 1 Corinthians 5:8, where'd that thing go here? It says here, let us keep the feast, not only with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Okay, so what's going to get us to grow? That's the sincerity and truth. Now, I'm still getting to my point. I haven't gotten to my point yet here. Look at 2 Corinthians. Okay, we did that verse already. Galatians chapter 6, verse 15. Galatians chapter 6, verse 15. Where it says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. So that's not even the issue anymore. That's Old Testament stuff. He says, but a new creature. So we know that he says that, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So we're a Christian. We put our faith in Christ, the risen Savior. We've learned who he is through Paul's teachings. Paul laid the foundation, which is Christ, the risen Savior. And we're building. Okay. Now, in the process, we need to change. That's what I've been saying. We need to turn. Now, here are the two verses I want you to get a hold of, and then I'm going to show you something, what's going on here. It says here, and that you put on the new man. That's Ephesians 4:24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true. Okay? And true holiness. Okay? So, we are to put on the new man. It doesn't mean that it just happens. We need to put him on. Okay? How do we put him on? Well, we read who he is. We read what it is he would have us do. And if we make those changes meet for repentance because we're willing to be that different person, and we see what these changes are, we don't have to agree with them. We don't have to like them. We don't have to have them convict us. That's the Bible. We read it. We get it preached. We should make those changes. And our pride and our flesh says no. Well, I'm going to show you something that's going to really is happening. It's going to be an amazing thing here. And that you put on the new man. It also says that in Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. So, there's my general introduction here. And do you see the point? Got any yeses out there? Make sure that you're still getting all this thing through here. It is to be a Christian. We need to make a change. And someone young, like Patience or Adriana or any of the young people out there, Ben, you're out there, you're being taught younger what's right, and so you're trying to do the right thing. What kind of a change takes place with you? Well, you know, you have a head start on the Christian life that us old people never did have. We're still struggling with stuff. We're still, our flesh has been through 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years of garbage. And you guys have a head start of having an understanding, starting your life out pleasing God at your young age, making those changes, being that Christian, that sincere Christian, not having to have learned everything the hard way. And there's more faith in that than us old people have had, because we've been down the road. We've been through the dumb stuff. We've had that problem. It's easier for us to realize that's wrong, because all this stuff hurt us. The stuff that we did as parents 10, 20, 30 years ago hurt our children. And we can see that. You don't have that kind of a, you don't have that experience of worldliness that your flesh is going to want to partake in. That's your battle, is to say no to something that actually to you seems fine. But according to the scriptures, it's wrong. But here's what I'm headed to here this morning, and we're going to be done fairly early. As I said, I thought it was going to take longer than that, so that's good in some respects. This new man, if we make those changes as a Christian, or if you young people make those changes and you become that new young person, you know what Titus tells you what to do. Is it Titus? You young people out there, the few that we have out there, even in Idaho, when you get a hold of this, Marcia, with Jillian here, a young person, it says here, not Titus, it's the last part, it's in the bottom left of my Bible, I know that. Oh, where's it at here? Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity and spirit and faith and purity. So there's your call right there for you young people. Be that example. Now here's what I'm going to try to get you to see here this morning. And this is scary stuff, really. This new man, this new person, this Christian that you really try to be, sincere, following the sound doctrine of Paul, of Titus and Timothy in there, you will be considered, or we will be considered, a mental disorder. We're going to be considered nutcases. If we don't participate in modern religion, if we don't participate in the local community, if we don't participate in all of our family, relative stuff, and if we don't just get out there and work at the places and make the bucks, if we don't get our ladies out there working, if we don't get our children into their school system, or if we just let them into our homes for schooling, or if we let ourselves as homeschoolers get involved with the schools, you know, we want our children to have friends, so we let them play with other people. I can't tell you right now, let me check my list here, well, they're going to listen to it later anyway, but I know kids that were young enough that they wanted to do the right thing, and now they're listening to crummy music, and they're not even old enough yet for that. They're dressing horribly as the girls. They're behaving horribly. I know that they're giving out some stuff now, these aids and things, down to kindergarten, preschool kids, are distributing them free in schools. And the law in Massachusetts says that you don't even have to tell the parents anymore. And, you know, if we're not like Sam says, society. That's the norm. That's Hollywood. Popularity. Yes, that's, if we're not of that, I'm not saying that we have to be an idiot and go stand on the street corners and scream God hates fags and get in people's face. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about you make a change in your life, and as a parent or grandparent or whatever, and you pass that on to your children, that will be considered child negligence. That will be considered child abuse. And what we have, what we're going through, will be considered a mental disorder officially. Now, the reason I'm onto this thought here this morning, because like I said, I've been reading about learning disabilities. I've been reading about they're trying to get the parents back to the schools and work together and all this kind of stuff. And I've been, I just got to thinking about some things here. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Let me show you something. I know you've seen this before, but it's kind of funny because if you read Paul's books, everything I talk about is nothing new. And where he says in 2:8, let beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So, I've been reading tons of characteristics about children with learning disabilities. Okay? Now let me read a couple. Let me read some of these things to you, if you don't mind. Has comprehension difficulties. Okay? Displays a slow reading rate. Skips words or lines of printed material. That's reading characteristics. Here's one. Has trouble following oral or written directions. Has trouble telling a story in proper sequence. Spelling issues are, has a poor visual memory for words. Makes mistakes in spelling patterns. I mean, I go through these lists. My point is this. I go through these lists. Right? And here's, this is a funny one here. Writes in handwriting disability, in handwriting disabilities, writes in printing rather than cursive. Well, I do that. I do that all the time. And I go through these list things. Is restless and fidgety. Show me a kid who isn't restless and fidgety. I know adults that can't sit still. Organization skills, attention and concentration. Then we got this big, long list of social skill disabilities here. Engages in limited eye contact. Well, you know, ladies, you don't need to be looking down the eyes of another man. Has difficulty in working cooperatively with others. I have a hard time working with a queer. When I know that he looks at me and maybe, well, I want my story from years ago that I met my first one in college. He loved me because of my hair. You know, it's just, I can't work cooperatively necessarily. I know we're around a bunch of them. We always have been in this world. This queerness isn't anything new. It's just that, like we said, they finally come out of the closet. You find a lot of these people that we've been around were queerish in those days, that they knew enough to keep it in the closet, I guess. I don't know. Displays inappropriate social behavior. Is unable to detect the difference between sincere and sarcasm. My point here is these things that they list as learning disability characteristics, we all do these things. So somehow they're putting this thing, appears to be clumsy. Well, anyway. The list is a mile long. And I'm reading through the different titles they have for things. They've got autism, they've got Asperger syndrome. I mean, there's just a long list of mental disorders. And yes, I realize that there's chemical damage to our children when they're born today. Alcohol syndrome. I realize that. And they really are mentally tweaked, which is really sad. But I'm wondering, they're coming up with so many mental disorders and learning disabilities. Are these really disorders? Or are they just descriptions of our personality, of who we are? I'm reading through characteristics saying, well, that's me. That's me. That's me. Do I have this mental disorder? No. Don't say I do. The point is they are putting together, they're studying our old man, our old nature, the old person, the old man that's in us, that's a Christian, gets crucified. Okay, so I can say this right here. These difficulties, these disabilities that we have as children growing up, like, where's this perfect kid at? What are they using as a standard that this person, that this kid is their model student so they can make these comparisons and show that this is wrong. See, my point is, if we don't have a standard to compare to compare to, who says any of this stuff is wrong or dangerous or bad or disability-wise or whatever? So here we are. We're Christians, and we're sincere about it, so we're sincere. We're a real Christian. This has taken place. Christ has changed us. Now we read our Bibles, and we read these things that we want to do to change our life. You know, they're going to come up here, and they're going to have a legitimate, in their eyes, a legitimate mental disorder that you are ruining your children, you are causing abuse, you are negligent to your children, you're teaching them this one way. You're not teaching them this religion. You're not teaching them this new school stuff. You're not teaching them how to read and things like that properly. You're not doing it their way. And we'll lose the kids. And if the rapture doesn't come, as we get close to that tribulation, we're going to be set aside. We're going to be arrested. We're going to be denied things. We're going to be challenged. We're going to be rejected. And most Christians I know of don't want that. They don't want their kids to be different, so they put them back in the schools, or they let them play ball with them, or they let them go out there and do stuff together, which they have to learn how to be social, but they don't have to go out and be part of the community, because how many of these kids that we know have been put out there, and now they're part of the world? Is it because the world is so great, or is it because the home and the Christian home is so bad that the kids don't want what they've seen, the arguing and the bickering and the hypocriticalness and the inconsistency of this and the laziness and the selfish parents and let the kids be up on their own? No, you can't watch TV, but mom and dad are watching TV, and you can't go here, but mom and dad go there. All this kind of stuff that the kids are going, you know, this Christianity thing stinks. And the parents are talking about the power of God in their lives and their prayer results, and if we pray harder, God will be there for us, and something happens, and I say, well, we just must not have been living right, and they give God the blame, and, you know, and the kids see the folly of the whole thing. They're not interested. But we know that I got a list of laws in the last years that have been coming closer and closer to get their kids back to the school. I got a booklet here that describes the different kind of parents. And as I read through that thing, I saw some of our parents from where I went back when I was pastoring, and I see a lot of parents that I recognize now. So they're identifying types of parents, and they're going to use that against you towards your children. So I see a column here called socioeconomic disturbances. Social disturbances. We teach our kids a social disturbance when we teach them not to accept queerness, not to accept, you know, to teach the girls to be girls. And that's what we're up against here. Now, again, my point is this. If we put on that new man, then we're going to be coming officially retards. Mental cases. Again, I've got strategies how to deal with people like us. I've been reading those things. I've got, here's one. It's the word modification. They have test modifications. In other words, how to give tests to children so they pass. It's called test modifications. I've got a thing we read at the school, grade modifications. How to modify the grade scale so the kids don't get bad grades. I've got one here called classroom environment modifications. How to make that classroom help the poor kids that aren't getting it. I can tell you right now what to do in the classroom. You ever been inside an elementary classroom or in a school and they tell us that we're supposed to keep things visually simple? Do you see all the junk that's up? I've done this before as a teacher. You got so much stuff on their walls that those kids just like walking into a zoo of words and pictures and stuff. And how many of these kids read those things? That's just teacher stuff. I couldn't realize that's just teacher stuff. To make them think that classroom is a classroom, you know. I remember umpteen years ago they used to put the alphabet. Remember those the green cards along the roof or along the ceiling, along the top there, A B C D E F G, and we don't do that stuff anymore. They got pictures of every race in the world except the white guy kid up there doing something. It's all socially organized. And then I also read something the other night too. You know, they're always trying to get away from this knowledge, teaching kids knowledge. Yeah, diversity, there you go, Sam. This knowledge thing. And I ran into something that they, I don't know if I got it here, there's this called, oh, come on, I'm getting there, hang in there. It's called, where's my assignment list here? just sit right here. Yeah, authentic assessment. And they're trying so hard to get away from knowledge. And then there's this thing called rubrics. Not Rubik, that Rubik cube, but rubric. And I'm reading through this thing, and they're supposed to develop a rubric for your children. And it turns out that all a rubric is the list of knowledge that the kid has to know in order to have this evaluation pass. So they're still trying to... They're teaching it backwards now. We're going to the tests, and we're not teaching them the knowledge. So we find out what knowledge they need to have learned. We go back and they think they're going to teach them the knowledge. I tell you, the whole system is 100% backwards. Again, what's my point? My point is this. If we're not going to support that stuff, and like Gunkles, you've got these kids growing up, and Floyd, you've got this young boy around the house, har-har. Maybe someday, Patience, you'll have your children you want so badly, and Brian and Adrienne, you're going to grow up in this world. You're still in school. If you knew all this stuff that was going on that I'm reading, you would realize that your mind is being played with in that school. They're playing with your mind. And when somebody tweaks with your mind, you don't even know what's happening. And we've been over that stuff the last couple of weeks, you know, being seduced, bewitched, deceived. All these things that are taking place in Christians, you don't even know what's happening. Yeah, human puppets. They're pulling strings on us more and more. We don't even know that our hand got lifted, our hand got raised by the guy above us with the string. It's just happening. We have no control. We're like Christian marionettes. Unless we put on that new man that Paul tells us we need to do. And then we get into Timothy and Titus and Romans and Corinthians. And that's why going through the series on Corinthians is really pretty tough on us, because that's a carnal church. A bunch of carnal people, babes. And that's what we're dealing with today. So here's the conclusion, though. How do we put on this new man? Because Christ has made those changes. And now in order to do those works, meet for repentance, this Bible is what we put on. What we read in this book is what we're supposed to put on. Like I say, I'm not trying to preach a message where we stop sinning. We will always do something we shouldn't have done. We will never be able to throw out everything that we're doing or thinking or going or watching or whatever unless you really get serious, and then there's going to be something else. There's always something. But the point is that he tells us to put on this new man. And this is Christ. So really what we need to put on is this King James Bible, rightly divided, of course. And when we do that, we're going to be considered a mental case. And, you know, I would say that to some people, and they would say, oh, you're silly. I would have to say this. You know who's doing this to us more than anybody? And that's the Christians. And I know some cases, that's the parents. You know, Adriana and Ben and Marcia, you got Jillian out there, and who else has got some kids that are, you know, old enough to have a little brain going on, a little brain action in there. If those kids got a hold of the way that we should dress to please God, the way that we should behave to please God, the way the girls ought to be girls, and the way the boys ought to be men, and we put on all these things that we read in that Bible, and let's say the kids do that more than the parents, we get the kids that are crucified by their parents. And these parents say they're Christians. We've got people in church that some of you folks still attend, and they look at you and they think that you're crazy dressing like that, or acting like that, or talking like that, or not doing something you did when you were younger that you don't want to see other kids do it, so you say no to doing sports and music and things like that. If you say no to those things, you're considered a nutcase. Isn't that amazing? And that's the brethren we're talking about, if they are really brethren. So let's finish this up here. I got a verse here. I got to dig it up all my messes here. Here's my last verse here, 2 Timothy 1:17 or 1:7. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So if you're a person that's got one of these disorders, like Asperger, or some of these things that they're putting together in this long list. All they're doing is describing our old nature. And I believe that this Bible is where we get our sound mind from. And as a result of that, this Bible could actually fix some of these things in our personalities and in our nature that we all continue to hang on to. Christ has put them off and got rid of them. That's good. But we had to put this new stuff on and try to be the Christian we need to be, which is going to make us look like a nutcase. That's what's going to happen. So, there you go. If that made any sense, I'll put them in the notes, try to organize the notes up a little bit, and maybe that'll help you make sense of that whole thing. But it's a mess out there. And the brethren aren't helping us at all. And don't let that old nature, the way you used to be, the former conversation, don't go back to it and put on the new man. So there you go.